This morning, first of all, I want to ask, were you blessed by last week's Sunday's service?
Yes, sir.
If you have not watched that, then go and watch it. Released part one, learning to forgive, or a lesson in forgiveness. Amen. Yeah. A lesson in forgiveness. But today we are going to flip the other side of the coin. Of the coin. Not coin. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I missed all of you. Did you miss me? Ah, Jesus. We are taking the other side. How to forgive yourself. And I want to start with a very interesting story in the book of Luke chapter 22 from verse 31. Luke 22 from verse 31. The Bible says, and the Lord said, as Jesus speaking, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Jesus was trying to warn him that, listen, Satan, they plan you. Satan, they plan you. But my guy began to brag. In verse 33, and he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both unto prison and death. Jesus was telling him, Baba, calm down. The guy said, what do you mean the devil wants to have me? Me? How can the devil have me? Jesus, I will go with you to prison and to death. Whatever, I will follow you. Jesus now said, okay, let me tell you the real matter. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Peter was, I'm sure Peter looked at him and said, like, me, he owe me. Peter the rock. Hey. Now jump to verse 54. And they took him. Who did they take? They took Jesus. The soldiers took Jesus and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled the fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. So they accused Peter that this man was also with Jesus. And Peter denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. He felt like, Oga, mind yourself. Oh. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou seest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. I'm sure Jesus turned and their eyes just jammed. Bam. You know, Jesus did not turn after he denied 2 times. So Jesus waited. When you completed the 3-time denial, Jesus now turned and bam, bam. Aye. If I was a movie maker, yeah, for me, come on. Praise the Lord. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. How he had said to him, unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Can I tell you something? Every one of us has been in this situation before. Where you just, I am this, I am that. Then you now did something that you're like, how did I find myself here? Let me tell you the one that happens to students. You want to read. He said, tonight, I will read for 6 hours. Or tonight, I will pray and encounter God. Jesus. From 9 a.m. or 9 p.m. to 3 a.m., it is me and this book. Or me and this Bible. Then you bring water to put your leg. Then you start. Like 1 hour inside. I just 30 minutes rest. So that my head can be set for the best. And then, what woke you up was the cock.
You woke up by 8 a.m. Everywhere was bright. You look around like, my God. Then you now sit down by the side of the bed and say, why is my life like this? Why? Why can't I just... For the next 1 hour, you are beating yourself up. And there are even more serious ones. You told yourself, you're not going to do this. But somehow, you know, see, I've been a pastor for a while. As you grow spiritually, you know, when you're at a certain level of your walk with God or a certain level of understanding, you beat people without understanding things they are going through. So, for instance, if they tell you that somebody fell into fornication or maybe fell into a sin, you just look at the person, oh, sinner! Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. You see your life? They say, don't wear lipstick, you wear. Don't wear earring. All those things, forget it. But Jesus, when he saw his disciples sleep, oh my God, oh my God. Jesus saw his disciples, he told them, watch with me and pray. He now came and saw them sleep. He did not look at them and say, lazy fools. What did he say? He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He was able to discern that there are sometimes you may want to do it, but somehow you fail to do it. So sometimes people fail not because they don't want to, but somehow they just failed. Are you guys what I'm saying? Yes, you know, Jesus, many things to teach. A lady was telling me about how in their family, they have a generational pattern that every one of them must have a child outside wedlock. Some of them, even when they marry, something must come up. And after they have married, it was a pattern. And she was bragging in the house that all of you are not serious. So her elder sisters, two of them, had children outside wedlock. And when they are trying to talk to her, she was always snubbing them. She had a very bad attitude towards them. She always felt like, I'm the holy one. You are the one that misbehave. They were telling her that it's not like, don't talk like this. Her own. Hey, malakwa lokwai. She was telling me, say, I don't even know. When you understand this, you see that, listen, this teaching of forgiving yourself is a very important teaching. Let me tell you something. We all make mistakes. Let me tell you, nobody has bragging rights. Nobody. Everybody just has, people just have different skills of covering their own. Yes. Some people are just very skilled because everybody has made a mistake. We have all made mistakes that we look back and you just feel like, well, how did I get here? Everybody. Jesus told them that if there is anyone without sin, pick the stone and stone this woman. Are you guys what I'm saying? Some people are just, they are so skilled. They are, you look at them like they say, this one, and all his whole life is perfect. It's a lie. It may be that he's a perfect arranger. We make mistakes many times. There are times and things we know that we should have done better. On one hand, it is a good thing to know that you should have done better. Do you realize that? Because there are some people who they've gone beyond redemption. They do evil without caution. Are you with me? They no longer have the feeling that this thing is wrong. And that's a bad place to be. In fact, that's a sign of spiritual apathy, of a reprobate heart, a seared conscience. So on one hand, it's a good thing that you know that, I missed it. I did something wrong. I made a mistake. I should have done better here. But on the other hand, even after you've realized that you've made a mistake, you must also be skilled enough to handle your heart in such a way that you don't throw away the baby and the water. Are you with me? You must be skilled enough to realize your mistake at the same time, not self-sabotage yourself or destroy yourself. Praise the Lord. Our hearts must be tender to know that when we've missed the mark and need repentance, but on the other hand, our hearts must not be so broken in such a way that we reject healing. This is what I'm saying. It's very important. Very important. And there is a balance to this. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7 from verse 9. 2 Corinthians 7 from verse 9.
So what is happening in 2 Corinthians chapter 7? Paul actually was scolding the church, the Corinthian church. They were giving over to sexual immorality. And in the first book of Corinthians, or the first Corinthians, he had corrected them. And in the 2 Corinthians chapter 6 also, he corrected them again. And what he wrote to them actually broke them. He scolded them. Praise the Lord. He was able to tell them, listen, you are wrong. You know, the Bible says love rejoices in truth. Love does not mean that you cover the truth. No, you address it straight up. But also after addressing it, you still believe the best of that same person. Praise the Lord. So now, Paul is saying, now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry. So the letters he wrote to them made them sorry. He heard that this thing broke them and they were crying. They felt bad about what they did. He said, now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to what? To repentance. Are you seeing this? So he's saying, my joy is not that you were crying about your mistake, because some people can be sorry and not change. Do you know what I'm saying? Some people can cry about the mistake and still not change. It's a different case when it's even an habit. Some people, they will steal and kill. When they catch them, they say, it's the devil. When they release them, they will steal and kill again. He says, for ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. Can we read from that place? For ye were made sorry. 1, 2, 3, go. Made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. That means if I train you in such a way that you no longer feel bad about what you do, I'm damaging you. He says, you were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. If I raise you in a way where you no longer feel bad about the mistakes you make, listen, that's damage. Verse 10. Everybody read this verse. 1, 2, 3, go. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh what? Death. So he's telling you that sorrow is not sorrow. There is something called godly sorrow that produces repentance. So what is the difference between godly sorrow and the sorrow of the world? Godly sorrow will produce a change in you that you cannot change from. That's what he's saying here. That it will produce an indelible change in your life. But the sorrow of the world will produce death. That means there is a way somebody can sorrow over his mistake that eventually he will be worse than his mistake. Do you get what I said? I know one guy. Those days in school. I don't know what happened. That something went wrong. Somebody spoke to him in a certain way because of what he did. I think he mismanaged funds or something went wrong thereabout. This guy felt so bad. He cried and cried. I'm useless, I'm useless, I'm useless. Then I think one girl I liked now even broke his heart. Do you know where we found this guy? After a while, from crying, Baba has entered pornography. From crying, he started cutting himself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh my God. See, you must learn to forgive yourself. There are people that because of the mistake they've made, they just say, I wish Graham just open and swallow me. Do you know what you are saying? For godly sorrow worketh repentance and salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So why must we learn about forgiving yourself? Number one, learning to forgive yourself is an important part of learning to forgive others. You know, last week we were talking about learning to forgive others. But let me tell you something. If you have not learned to forgive yourself, you will not really master forgiving others. I'm telling you. The Bible says in Galatians 5 from verse 14, it says, this is what the law says, that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. Let's look at it. It says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But question, what if somebody does not love himself? If we are supposed to go by this scripture, thank God that this is not the only standard of love in the Bible, because this is a standard of loving your neighbor as yourself, but there's a higher standard of loving your neighbor as Christ loved them. Are you with me? But if we had to go only by this, what about people who have written of themselves? You hear somebody say something like this. Me, I know, say my own no good. Have you ever talked like that? My own no good, but you? You are a piece of shit. No, a person that has written of himself, do you think he would think anything about you? A person who has already counseled himself, there is nothing good he will see in you. So learning to forgive yourself is an important part of learning to forgive others. Have you discovered that many armed robbers and cultists, most of them will tell you that life was not fair on me? If you catch them, many of them, their reason
for being justified of inflicting pain on others is that life was not fair on them. So they feel justified on doing evil to others. That's why in many of these dark circles, when they want to initiate them, they make them do evil things to themselves. That's why their initiation process will be so hard. They will make them cut themselves and drink blood, and they are trying to destroy and break their soul, break their conscience. So they no longer have feeling for themselves. They will tell you, I don't fear death again. Anybody can kill me. It is that kind of dark heart that makes them do evil to others. Are you following me? So if you don't learn to forgive yourself, you will not learn to forgive others. You know, like I always say, injured people injure others. Ah, yeah. Injured people injure others. There is a way a person will be so wounded, nobody will be comfortable around that. They will make life miserable for every other person around them. I don't know if you know what I'm saying. So they have been so injured, they suspect everybody. So everything is in this relationship. Thank God, Living and Cleaving Conference is Wednesday and Thursday. Glory! Glory. God, the next Living and Cleaving Conference, we will do it in Abuja. As we are doing it in our Port Harcourt Center, we will stream online. And wherever you are with your phones, please just join us. Amen. Somebody will be so hot. There is a way a person can be hot in a relationship. Eh? Every other person after that person is going to suffer the basbos. I'm telling you. But in today's service, healing is coming on you. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Secondly, so the first one is, if you don't know how to forgive yourself, you cannot really forgive others. Secondly, learning to forgive yourself is a major factor in receiving answers from God. Oh, yes. Learning to forgive yourself is a major factor in receiving answers from God. I hope you are following me. Look at Isaiah 43 from verse 25. Isaiah 43 from verse 25. 25 to 26 now. We opened this verse last week Sunday, but I'm going to show you a different context to it. Isaiah 43 from verse 25. God is bragging here. God says, I am he that blotted out thy transgression for my own sake. Glory. And will not remember thy sins. Hallelujah. God is bragging. He says, I am he that blotted out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. Say amen. Amen. Now, see verse 26. Everybody, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. What's the connection between that verse and the next? It's as though God is saying, since you've received forgiveness, you can now pray. Are you guys what I'm saying? Yes, before God allows you to pray, he's trying to tell you, whatever we stand as a hindrance in you receiving answers, take it away because I've forgiven your sins. God is bragging about forgiveness of sins and says, it's time to pray. So that means God believes, if you're not conscious of your forgiveness in him and his lavishness of taking away your sins, you will not pray well. God believes that as long as you are conscious of your sin, you will not pray with faith. Praise the Lord. Oh, you think it doesn't happen to you? It happens to you many times. There are sometimes, let me give you an example. Maybe that morning, you felt like, Kai, you did something wrong. Maybe you missed something. Or in your opinion, maybe you committed a sin or something happened. Then you now go to the road. Then somebody is sick. And somebody says, can we pray for him? Before you pray, you scan yourself. Yeah. me and God, they quarrel. Or some of you have noticed that maybe you fell into something. The next day to pray, God, to utter any word, you'll be like, oh God. Oh God. Sometimes, I know somebody who told me she's having a beef with God because she believes that God is keeping something against her because of something she did some years ago. Can I shock you? There are people like that. But God is telling you, I have blotted out your transgressions. He says, because of this now, you can come boldly to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Say after me, I'm forgiving. Number three, learning to forgive yourself is a deliverance from self-destruction. Oh my God, this one. Learning to forgive yourself is deliverance from self-destruction. If you doubt it, Judas hanged himself. Yes. Judas hanged himself. Can I tell you something? if the prodigal son did not rise up from that strange city and go back home, he may have done something funny and destroyed his life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me tell you, if you don't forgive yourself, if you don't learn to forgive yourself, you rubbish will happen to you and you justify it. You say, hey, it's happening because I did this. A man who doesn't forgive himself will eventually destroy himself. And let me tell you something. The self-destruction that comes with not forgiving yourself actually is a stench of pride. It is an overflow of pride, because now when a person has done wrong and knows that he has done wrong, and sometimes that they want to raise up a small screen to defend themselves, they will now inflict pain on themselves. So people will look at them and say, Kai, he knows that he misbehaved. That's why he's dealing with himself like that. It's just pride. That, okay, well, I know I'm wrong. Nobody should tell me. I know I missed it. I know. So it's fine. Let this one happen to me. Are you getting what I'm saying? So in their mind, they are trying to take responsibility for their mistake. But there is just this pride showing up as I'm defending myself so that nobody can talk to me. Are you following what I'm saying? I remember teaching like this one time. And one lady met me after the service. She said, you are a psychologist. I said, why? See, you just know how to make somebody. You know how to trick us. Hey. See, you will not even allow us to hide small. You just be tricking us like this. I said, you take it. Take that word. The word will enter you. In Jesus' name. The Bible says all things are naked before the word. There is no hiding place. I come with the sword of the Spirit from the heavens and do x-ray on the heart. Praise the Lord. Ah, learning to forgive yourself is deliverance from self-destruction. So, quickly. So let's go over it again. Why are we learning about forgiveness? Number one, learning to forgive yourself is an important part of learning to forgive others. Number two, learning to forgive yourself is a major factor in receiving answers from God, right? Yes, or answers to prayers, as you may have it. And finally, learning to forgive yourself is a deliverance from self-destruction. It's a deliverance. So how do you forgive yourself? Number one, embrace God's forgiveness. Tell your neighbor, embrace God's forgiveness. 1 John chapter 1 from verse 9, it says, if we confess our sin, meaning if we acknowledge that we made a mistake, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why did he have to put that word, He is faithful and just? Because there are many times where people say they are forgiving you, but they have not forgiven you. Their actions prove they have not forgiven. Are you with me? Have you been in a case where you tell somebody sorry, but in your mind, you know that the sorry has not entered? You go and say, I'm sorry again. There is a way you will feel, you will know that this person has finally accepted. Are you with me? That's why when you make somebody angry, don't say the sorry shabbily. Sorry now. Don't just toss it in front of the person's face. Make the person know that, Kai, I really know that this thing I did was wrong. Or when you are saying thank you too, don't say the thank you casually. Don't just say, thank you. Thanks. Make the person see, I'm grateful. Thank you. Are you with me? Yes, he's saying that if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Glory! Glory! Embrace God's forgiveness. 1 John 2 from verse 1. You see, one major reason why people don't forgive themselves is because they think God is holding something against them. 1 John 2 from verse 1 to 2. It says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That means if you make a mistake, there is an advocate speaking for you. God, there's an advocate in the face of God telling God that, I know he made a mistake, but my blood has covered it. Glory. Amen. Amen. So this is not encouraging you to sin. This is an insurance policy that even if you sin, there is something that has covered for you. Just the same way insurance companies will not tell you to go and set your house on fire, but they will tell you if anything happens, we have you covered. Are you getting what I'm saying? So because God understands that even though he has made you a new creature in your spirit, your body and your soul is still developing into that spiritual maturity. So sometimes there will be sleeps. And so as a God who plans into the future, he made an insurance policy. If you fail or if you make a mistake, you have an advocate. Now, say after me, I have an advocate. I want you to say, I have an advocate. I cannot feel the sound from this side. I have an advocate. Glory! An advocate with the Father. That means before the devil comes to report you, Jesus is there saying, I know. You can't come. I and God are talking about it. This family matter, get out. Praise the Lord. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. What does this mean? What does it mean he's the propitiation? That term propitiation means payments to appease. The payments done to appease the anger of somebody. So he's saying that Jesus Christ, who is the advocate, is also the payments to appease the anger of God. He is the propitiation, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Look at this atoning sacrifice. Good. Amen. For our sins, and not for ours alone, but also for the sins of the whole world. Do you know what this means? It means that even for sinners in the world, God is not angry with them again. Oh my God. There is forgiveness waiting for them. Because the blood of Christ has propitiated for their sins. All their mistakes, all their slips. God's not looking at them saying, you sinner man, don't come. My cane is waiting. Michael, they sharpen now. Say, never sin enough. No worry. When the cup don't full, the cup doesn't full. No worry. The cup doesn't full. When the cup full, you go come. No problem. That's not what God is doing. God's looking at him and saying, I've forgiven you. I paid for you. When will you come and receive it? The package is ready. When will you come and take it? Say after me, I've been forgiven. Look at verse 12 of that same chapter. John 2 from verse 12. Let me tell you, this series thing on forgiveness, it's such a big deal. I will talk about it later in this year. Maybe when we treat the gospel, the grace, kerygma. Say after me, I've been forgiven. You know? I've been forgiven. Everybody, John, give me King James. Then we go to Amplified. Give me King James. First John 2 from verse 12. I want you to read this verse and rejoice with a loud voice. 1 John 2 verse 12, King James, KJV. Little children, because your sins are forgiven, for his name's sake, glory! Something, my sins are forgiven. My sins are forgiven. I am the forgiving of God. I am the loved of God. I am loved of God. My sins are forgiven. Glory! Let me still give you another example to understand forgiveness and propitiation. Assuming your mother cooked a pot of vegetable soup. My best vegetable soup is afang soup, followed by egusi, and then ogbolo can come after, and then the others. But afang soup with plenty meat inside. Then maybe assuming now they cooked it in a separate. Maybe your house was divided into different places and they had to cook it somewhere, then carry it from that outside kitchen into the main kitchen. And as you were carrying it, you were gisting with somebody. You don't know when you hit something and the soup poured. It poured on the sand with the, all, everything on the floor. And then your mother actually went out after cooking. Then you're like, oh God, let this woman not come back at all. Because you want to pack the soup from the floor, you don't know how you would do it. How will you wash the soup? How will you? You try to pick all the meats, then you wash it, you washed out all the sauce from it. Then you kept it. You're just confused. You can never make it. Ah, you are there. What will I do? Then something that happened. While you were there contemplating, your mom now showed up. You don't know where to start from. Say, mommy, see, I, what were you doing? Where were you looking? Where was your mind? This other person shouted, does he have two heads? Typical African parents. Have you ever heard something from this, from each of us? And then she said, you know what? I've forgiven you. I've forgiven you. He said, let me tell you why I've forgiven you. You know why? You know why I forgave you? Because your father gave me extra 150,000 to do more. So, you know what? We'll go to the market and buy it again. Then she now looks at you and says, see, thank God your father gave me money. I'm in a good mood now. If not, I would have bamboozled you. That's not the perfect example, but that payment the father gave extra is propitiation. Yes, do you understand? Yes, the extra payment done to appease anger. So he's saying that because of what Christ has done, when God would have looked at you and said, you this boy, he looked at you and said, Kai, I'm no longer angry. You have been paid for. That's what God, say after me, I've been paid for. Say after me, I'm forgiven. Hallelujah. Number two, you must go beyond the past. Oh, to forgive yourself, you must go beyond the past. You know, Genesis chapter 18 tells a very interesting story of how God was trying to rescue Lot and his family from Sodom and Gomorrah because it was going to be destroyed. And God gave them a very profound instruction. God said, as you journey out of the city, don't look back. Ah, what an instruction. That as you are journeying from one face to the other, don't look back. You see, but Lot's wife looked back and she was turned into a pillar of salt. What does that tell you? That tells you that God does not like us regretting. Yes. I want to tell you something. Stop regretting. Stop looking back. Those who regret consistently regress continuously. Those who regret consistently regress continuously. And you don't know. Stop regretting. I want to tell you something else. Listen. Your future is bright from where you are. Oh my God, if you got what I just said. God told Abraham, lift up your eyes from where thou art. From where you are, lift up your eyes and look. All the land which you see, I will give it to you. I want to tell you something else. The best of God and the best of your life is not in the past. Oh my God. The best of God and the best of your life is not in the past. You know, see, if you are going to let go of the past and forgive yourself, you will have to shut down the voice of the accuser who will keep telling you, if I would have done this, I would have been here by now. You know that kind of thinking. If I did this, if I met that person that time, if I did this thing by that time, maybe I would have been here by that time. Stop it. He told Abraham, lift up your eyes from where thou art, not from where you were. Lift up your eyes from here. From here, God can take you forward. From here, he can erase the past. From here, he can make your future brighter. Don't look back. Tell your neighbor, don't look back. Stop regretting. Yes. Stop saying, oh, if I met that person, if this one happened, the future is bright from where I am. The best of God is not in the past. The best of my life is not in the past. All I've lost, I will receive 100-fold. Glory! Stop regretting. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 14, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The strongholds in that context is not the witches in your village. Oh, they are strongholds that are witches. But this one in that context was saying, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Because let me tell you, you can sit down in your house and you are building strongholds with your mind. Oh, if I did like this, I would have been here by now. Then you now wrap your entire life around something that happened 15 years ago. You missed an opportunity. If I got that opportunity, maybe I will not be here. It has gone. Don't let it pass. Don't let your life pass with it. The future is greater. You know, one day, I was feeling, I thought about something. Let me share this personal experience and how God cautioned me. I was like, Kai, You know, in Abuja, they usually share all these land flyers. Like, buy land here, buy land. I was like, Kai, why don't I have money to buy this land? The cheapest land there was 2.5 million. I say, Kai, even 250, I don't get. At least I permit them, go give tithe. I say, Kai, at least I for buy. I should have had. I say, God, I would have. 2.5 million and bought land. What if when I want to buy all land I finish? He told me, stop. The future is bright. The future is bright. He said, stop thinking like that. He said, where you are now? Did you believe that you'll be here by this time? I said, it's true. He said, stop. He said, what makes you think that you must have 2.5 million to buy the land? What if I tell someone to build the house and sow it to your life? I said, that's an angle. My God.
Amen.
You see, regretting will make you, it will blind your eyes to the possibilities of the future. See, let me tell you, there is nobody driving forward that looking back without having an accident. Nobody drives a car forward and looking back without having an accident. If you are driving forward, you must stop looking back. Oh, I hope you got that.
Yes,
that's how to forgive yourself. Oh, I did this that time. I did that that time. Move on. Tell your neighbor, move on.
Move on.
Say, I'm blessed.
I'm
blessed. This is important. Number three, allow yourself to be loved by the right people. Tell your neighbor, let somebody love you. Let me tell you why. Because sometimes the pain of the past or the pain of your mistake is not something that you can heal from mechanically. Sometimes. Sometimes you cannot be taught out of it. You must be loved out of it. Yes. You must be loved out of it. Sometimes the only way to come out is to be loved out of it. Because you see, pains, mistakes, personal sabotage sometimes are like injuries on your skin. And every Nigerian Paco child can relate to the fact that when your injuries are healing, you are so tempted to scratch them open.
Oh, don't deny me here.
It's healing, but you are so tempted to just scratch it small, scratch it small. I want to see. You want to scratch it open, but listen, actually, you need to open up to be healed. For the wound to actually to heal, or to even, for it to have healed to that point, you have to open it up for breeze, for light, and all of that. But there is a way you will open it up, you will cause more problem. So you must open up to the right people. Tell your neighbor, open up to the right people. Open up to the people who love you. Let's look at Galatians 6 from verse 1. And how do you know the people that love you? Let's look at Galatians 6 verse 1. Galatians 6 from verse 1, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. That means, you have to open up to somebody who is mature and spiritually enough to restore you. He's telling you that you can open up to mature spiritual brethren who have the ability to restore you. Yes. Because let me tell you something. See, one of the differences between Peter's denial and Judas's betrayal was after they made mistakes, they went to different places. Oh my God. After Judas betrayed Jesus, he was left alone. But after Peter denied, he went to the other disciples. So they were able to cushion him. Maybe if Judas was able to go back to the disciples, and when he was going to buy, and they saw him going to buy rope, they said, Judas, what are you going to do? Say, come back here. Maybe he would tell them, no, I just want to use the rope to put a hanger at the back of my house. They say, Judas, come here. What do you want to do? Then they see him arranging the rope to hang himself. They say, you cannot do this. But Judas, he found a skillful way to run away from all the disciples. You see, that's what the devil does. Oh my God. Judas found a way to run away from all the disciples. He was left alone. The devil overwhelmed him with guilt. He hanged himself and killed himself. That is a perfect example of the devil commit not but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. First of all, do you know that it was the devil that inspired Judas to betray Jesus? Do you know? Read John chapter 13 from verse 1 to 2. You will see there that it was the devil that put it in the heart of Judas to deny, to betray Jesus. After the same devil empowered him to betray Jesus, he did not support him. That same devil drove him to the point where he was overwhelmed with condemnation and then he hanged himself. Classic example of use and dump. Satan used him, stole the ministry from him, stole the association from him, and destroyed him. Let me tell you, Satan hates man. Demons hate men. They don't love you. That is why the same demon that will push people into pornography, after they've watched it and they are done, that same demon will now bring condemnation. Upon condemnation, the person will be overwhelmed with feeling of you worthlessness. Tell your neighbor, don't give the devil space. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But Judas was left alone. Peter went back to the disciples. I'm sure. Maybe when Peter was crying and thinking about his life, they said, it will be well. They loved him out of that pain. Guess what? Jesus rose up from the grave and never had a meeting with Peter about it. Ah. Jesus rose up and did not come and say, Peter,
come, let's talk about that matter.
I think I didn't warn you that time. No one yet. I was telling you. You thought you... Jesus went on with Peter as though not owned. What a master in forgiveness. What a love on display. That means if Judas waited for only 3 days. Oh my God. If Judas waited for only 3 days, there may have been hope for him. If he came back to the disciples and said, see, I know I messed up, but please, can you people beg Jesus for me? When he comes, please. Maybe if he did that, he would have been one of them preaching. Yes, maybe he would have had the book of Judas. Yes, a proper book of Judas. Not that rubbish that these people brought out that time. Maybe he would have been one of the disciples that we will be learning from today. But no. Satan finished him. He was left alone. So, when you see yourself overwhelmed with self-sabotage, that's not when the time to run away from church and God. Open up to people that will encourage you and love you and say, well, let's move on. Well, let's move on. God has a plan. God has a plan for your neighbor. God has a plan for your life. Glory! Glory! Romans chapter 1 from verse 11 to 12. It says, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end it may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Pause. So Paul is saying that there is a comfort that comes from mutual faith. Say after me, mutual faith. Mutual faith means it's not one person, it's two of us together. We have the same faith. You know, let me give you an example of mutual faith. You know, in Facebook, when you serve a friend request, they will tell you 40 mutual friends. What they are trying to tell you is that this person has 40 other people who are your friends and they are his friends. So when he's saying mutual faith, he's saying that if you are together with people who have the same faith in Christ, there is a comfort that comes out of it. Are you with me? That is that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith. So when you expose those wounds and those pains that you have inside to the atmosphere of love from people who love God also, you don't know when you are healed. In the same way your wounds on the wounds on your body can get healed, one day you look at it and like, ah, it's true. This is not healed though. In the same way, when you are in that atmosphere of love and encouragement and people who love God and they are praying and they are serving God together, you will be healed without knowing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Say after me, I'm blessed. So far, what have we said? How do you forgive yourself? Number one is what? Embrace God's forgiveness. Number two, go beyond the past. Number three, allow yourself to be loved. Tell your neighbor, let someone love you. You know, some people, they are just hard. That guy, stone cold, rock, iron, aradite. You tell the person, come on to church. Say, no. After service, you just run away. Tomorrow, you say, there's no love in that church. You did not receive the love in the church. You did not receive the love in the church. Yeah, it's love. You don't allow yourself to open up to anybody. Nobody. People are trying their best to be close to you. You say, no. My space is golden.
Hallelujah.
Number one, embrace God's forgiveness. Number two, go beyond the past. Number three, allow yourself to be loved by the right people. You know, even that go beyond the past is another way of saying, give other people the opportunity to enter your life. Somebody hurts you, then you go say, all men ask, come, you marry again. I'm sorry. If I touch you, I'm not supposed to. I'm sorry. All women are witches. They lie. You will marry again. You will date again. You will love. See, child God. I want to say something, but it's not be healthy on this mic.
It will be healthy to say those things in a marriage conference, a strict marriage conference, where they are all married people. God forgive me. Finally, soak yourself in the presence of God. Soak yourself in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed this morning?
Yes,
soak yourself in the presence of God. Remember the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, from verse 17 to 18. The Bible says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare and perish with hunger? So you know the story of the prodigal son who took his own portion of his inheritance, insulted his father. You know what was happening there? He said, Daddy, you are taking too long to die. Give me my inheritance, let me go, since you don't want to die. Since you don't want to die, give me my portion of inheritance, let me go. And that's what he did. And he went and squandered everything. And Sapa met him. You know, somebody said, you know why your head starts spinning when you're hungry? Because hunger is expected to give you sense. It's not what, though. I believe that's what happened to this prodigal son. There's a hunger that came upon him. He rose up one day. He got revelation by force. He said, my father's hired servants, they have bread. I cannot be dying here. Then he said in verse 18, I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. If you read the story, hey God, he never had the opportunity to say this. He never had the opportunity to say this. You know what was happening? Forgiveness was waiting for him. On his way going there, the Bible says the father was at the edge of their house, maybe on the balcony, looking. Perhaps the father may have been looking for him every day. Maybe he will come out today and look. Okay, he didn't come back today. Let me go back. Tomorrow, he will come back again and look. Forgiveness was waiting for him. And before he could talk, the father had run to him, hugged him. They have set up party. He just said, oh, this one, they don't give me cloak. Make with it. Let's be enjoying from there. That means if he stayed where he was, he would have said, no, I did it. I must suffer the pain of my mistake. He would have died for nothing. Let me tell you, if you are self-sabotaging yourself, beating up yourself for your mistake, let me tell you, forgiveness is waiting for you with God. You are doing it for nothing. All the beating up yourself and trying to say, I'm worthless, I am useless, I am this, darkness, all those things you are saying, it is for nothing because God has forgiven you and has been waiting for you. Say after me, he's waiting for me. And I'm with him now. Glory!
Glory.
God. Say after me, I will soak in the presence of God. Look at the boy. The boy said, I will arise and go to my father. There are some of you, that's what you need to say. I will arise and go to my father. I will arise. No matter how scattered my life is right now, I will arise and go to my father. I know that if the whole world has rejected me, there is someone who will not reject me. He has accepted me before I even came. He has been waiting for me to come. Are you following me? Even if I reject myself, you know, I had to tell myself something some years ago. I said, if God believes in me, I'm foolish not to believe in myself. If God believes in me, I'm foolish not to believe in myself. Say for me, God believes in me. By now, you should have already started feeling different. What's happened? This is faith being immersed into your heart. You know, I will end up these notes with the story of Peter. The actual first story of Peter. In Luke chapter 5. When Jesus came and said, let me use your boat. And Jesus used his boat. I'm telling you. There are some of you, that's what you're telling God. Depart from me. God, don't worry, you have tried. God, you have tried. Depart from me, I'm a sinful man. But guess what Jesus said? Jesus said, fear not, Peter, for I will make you fishers of men. That means God is telling some of you, even if you call yourself a sinful, even if you write up yourself and call yourself a sinful man, I have the power to make you.
Hooray!
Yes. Even if you write up yourself, Jesus is telling some of you, I have the power
to face you and make your future look like there was never a past. Yes. Let me tell you, there are some of you in the next few years, what God will do with your life, when you are telling people that this was what you were before, they will not believe you. Amen. Your life will be so glorious. Amen. I thought you would say amen.
Amen.
I said your life will be so glorious.
Amen. Amen.
So full of color.
Amen.
So full of grace.
Amen.
That the past will be unbelievable.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Jump on your feet right now. Just thank him.